Today, we're talking about RFM marketing, what it is, and actually how to apply it. And fortunately for us, we've got someone that's actually an expert at this. In my opinion, he's one of the top guys in the entire world that's actually leveraging, doing this, and teaching this. So how are you? And welcome to the show.
Hey, Chase. Thanks for having me. And hello, everyone. I'm great. So it's, it's 7 p.m. here in Bucharest, and I'm ready to give some great insights about my my journey after, I think there are 16 years in e-commerce now.
Wow, that's crazy. All right, well, let's do this. Let's first talk about, like, what does RFM stand for? And how did you get to being where you are today? Like, how did you go down the journey of learning and kind of mastering RFM?
Yeah, RFM stands for Recency, Frequency, and Monetary Value. It's a framework developed by direct mailers back in the 70s, if you can imagine that, because the mailing was kind of expensive. It wasn't like today, and they wanted to give scores from, let's say, 1 to 5 to their recipients and to disregard the ones that had a low probability to buy the stuff that they were selling. Time has passed, and now the biggest retailers in the world are using RFM model so that they can understand which are their best customers, which are their worst customers, and what the best customers are buying, and so on. And I got here after I've been an e-commerce entrepreneur myself. I've sold my company when we were making something like 14 million in annual turnover. We were selling car insurance, and we looked at which are our best customer groups. And the truck drivers were having a disproportionate impact in the total margin. And then we realized that, hey, let's focus on these guys. And we made some crazy advanced stuff to acquire them. And that actually transformed our business, because if you focus on your best customers, then you change your narrative, you change your ads, you change your onboarding, and so on. And that's actually transformative for any company that wants to do things that are not that common. Of course, this is not working for very small companies, but if you have more than 20,000, let's say, orders already, you can see some great clusters over there. So pretty much that's what RFM stands for. And throughout the time, I've built my own company called OmniConvert. We focused first on the conversion rate optimization. And at some point, we couldn't move the needle. So maybe we've built an A/B testing tool, a survey tool. And there's a experimentation fatigue. After some point, you can tweak the website however you want, because while you do A/B testing, you need to come up with a compelling and relevant offer to your customers. That means you can't improve conversion rate anymore if you just give, let's say, not so relevant messages to your customers. And we work with a company which was, it still is one of the largest e-commerce companies in Europe here. They were selling shoes. And they got to this plateau, and they couldn't improve the conversion rate. We were, let's say, affected about that, because we were about to lose an important customer of ours. And we roll out our sleeves, and we got there. Let's see what's going on. So we've done this RFM segmentation, and we realized some wow things. Like, who are their best customers? They thought that they are selling to ladies which were in their 30s, while the reality was that their best customers, we call the soulmates, the ones that have the highest recency, the highest frequency, and the highest monetary scores. And their ideal customers were actually not ladies in their 30s, but ladies in their 50s, and not from the big cities, but from smaller cities where they couldn't find malls, right? I mean, small cities. And that was an aha moment for them, and that shifted their entire company towards doing a better acquisition and, of course, retaining more customers. And that's how I got into this RFM space. And we actually developed a platform to help e-commerce companies to segment their customers based on the RFM and to target them differently through all their channels, through email, Facebook ads, SMS campaigns, and so on. Moreover, I've actually built a whole academy towards helping people to get what RFM stands for and how to improve customer lifetime value and decrease CAC thanks to RFM.
Super fascinating. So I think most people watching or listening to this should be doing some form of segmentation today. They better be, right? And if they aren't, go do it right now. But in your opinion, like, where do people go wrong with segmentation? I think most people are doing some form of segmentation. Are they leveraging maybe RFM and they just don't know what it stands for? Or what are most people that you see that come to you initially, what are they getting wrong about segmentation? And how do you get them to apply RFM in a different way?
Yeah, I think the first mistake on segmentation is that you don't associate customers that look alike, so that your offer is compelling and relevant to them. For instance, one of the things that they are doing, they segment customers based on their customer lifetime value, like high potential customers. But if I'm a high potential customer and I bought 2 years from a brand, I'm not going to bother about their offer anymore because they lost me and they don't know why they lost me, but I'm not going to pay attention to that campaign. However, if I'm grouped with other customers that have a high customer lifetime value and a high recency and a high frequency, I'm more likely to buy from that company. So the best thing is to use things like recency and frequency, because these are the paradox is that these are more impactful in terms of the probability to buy again. So if you focus on the customers that bought most recently, these are the usual suspects. So these are the most likely to buy again. Then the frequency goes next, and the CLV is the last in terms of the probability of a customer to buy again. And that's why you need RFM, because mainly it's not about how much they've spent, but how recently and how frequently they've bought, because that means they've installed the habit of buying from a company. That's the first mistake.
So real quickly to recap that. So essentially for folks that are segmenting, they're doing some segmentations better than none, but say, for example, they have this group of customers. They're typically treating every customer as the same. And in your model, right, it's basically taking a sliver of these customers and dividing them up based off of how much they spent, how recently they spent it, maybe what they've purchased, maybe what they've spent. So instead of just having one group of customers, they have maybe three different groups of customers or six different group of customers. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Chase. And one important thing is that with the RFM, you can find out some great anomalies. Like we have here things like, sorry. So we have here some clusters of customers, for instance, like the soulmates, right? The ones that have high recency, high frequency, high monetary value. These are by far the best customers to focus on. Then we have customers with low recency, but high frequency and high monetary value. These are the ex-lovers. So the idea is to give a treatment according to the relationship that you have with those customers. And most of the brands out there are blasting everyone with the same offers. But the idea is to be relevant and to use some creative technique like, hey, long time no see, with a group of customers that they used to buy from you and many, many times. So pretty much that's how it goes.
Okay. And, you know, I think the obvious use case of this, right, it's for campaigns or I guess some people call it broadcast, but that's like the obvious use case is segmenting these people and sending one-off campaigns. I think obviously it's applicable to flows or automation. Maybe less people are thinking about that. Can we talk about that for a minute? Like, where do you leverage this on the automation side?
Yeah, for sure. The best, let's say, the best campaigns that I think should be checked by any brand at this moment are the onboarding campaigns. So if it's a large enough company that has different kind of newly acquired customers, they should be splitting them in two. We call them the new passions, the ones with the, let's say, you have a score from 1 to 3, and you have customers with the highest recency score, so they've bought in the last 3 weeks, let's say, with the lowest frequency score, so they've bought only once, but also with the highest score. So that means they have a high potential to buy again, and these are valuable customers. So you can set up a different onboarding and a different commercial incentive for those, because you know that you can afford to do that, yeah, because they have a high potential. So you can automate a different onboarding flow for the new passions versus the let's say apprentice, like we call them, the customers with that are acquired recently, but they have only one as a score for monetary value. And that's an easy to run flow, right? Another, please, what do you think, Chase?
No, this is great. As we're talking about this, we're mainly focused on email, right? I'm an email guy. We're mainly talking about email. Is any of this stuff applicable to something like an SMS or things that people can customize on the website as well? Or is this RFM specific to email?
No, it can ideally, and my prediction is that the best email marketing agencies out there are going to be the ones that are data-driven and that are going to be aligning with the other channels, even though they are not going to, let's say, run PPC campaigns or they are not going to tweak the website to improve the UX. They need to know what the other channels are doing. And if you have an RFM strategy, you have it aligned with the other channels as well. So, for instance, if the new passions have the highest purchase intent and potential, you can address them with an SMS flow at the same time, with a website personalization offer at the same time, and with ads as well. For instance, we are working with a brand right now, which is addressing the new passions by giving them some scratch cards. And then based on these scratch cards, these are expiring based on when they are coming to the landing page. So they do this package insert only for the new passions, which have the highest potential. And then you get the package, you find out the scratch card, you do this instant gratification to see if you've won something. And what you've won, it's an access voucher to a landing page. And on that landing page, you find out a campaign that is going to be giving you, I don't know, 30% in the first, if you place another order in the next 2 days. If you do it in at the end of the week, you get only 15% and then only 5%. And you orchestrate email, they orchestrate email campaigns, Facebook ad campaigns, and SMS flows for this as well. And this is going to be, it's automatically triggered. So these kind of campaigns should be orchestrated by the brands looking to level up their e-commerce game.
Super helpful. So one question, and then I think you might've been talking about maybe some other flow, so apologies, but one question I have is like in the way the world's going towards more privacy, right? You know, cookies are going away, you know, iOS 14, 14.5, iOS 15, is RFM becoming more important or is it equally as important? Like how does RFM change as we lose some of these other things? Does it grow in popularity and grow in importance or is it kind of about the same?
Yeah, by all means, we are seeing a very high interest nowadays, especially in the last 2 months. We are seeing a large interest because the Facebook ROAS is going down, and now marketers and e-commerce companies are looking for ways to leverage their campaigns. And first party data and blended with zero party data, I think it's the best solution that they can have to this issue. And RFM is gaining a lot of traction. So in the last months, we've seen a lot of students onboarding in our CVO Academy. And RFM is going to become, from my perspective, the go-to strategy to tackle the cookie-less world.
Amazing. All right, so two things I want to end on. One is any other automations or campaigns that you want to touch about that are really important that people should be leveraging with RFM? And then I'd love for you to touch a little bit on the Academy. So let's start with any other automations or flows, whether it's one or a handful more, and then we'll wrap up with the Academy.
Yeah. So another important flow that can be triggered is the prevention campaigns, right? The prevention flows, because you get the days since the last transaction. For instance, we have this integration with Klaviyo and we push this kind of data like the RFM group plus the days since the last order. And you can prevent this based on the value of based on the segment of the customer. And an important thing is to look at opportunity window, right? Because you have this day since the last transaction, but many marketers are pushing this email based on their calendar. But in order for a customer to buy again, they need to consume or use the product that they've bought. So the buying habit follows the consumption habit. So it's not that smart to push a voucher or a commercial campaign when the customers are not actually use the product. And it's this thing called the average days between the transactions. And if you look at the purchase cycle, or when the probabilities to purchase again are the highest, then that's when you should be triggering this this type of prevention campaign, right? Because you don't want them to churn. So in order to do so, you simply need days since the last transaction and the RFM group. And you actually craft a journey for the customers, and you trigger this type of flows based on the days since the last transaction and the RFM group. You do it once, and then you benefit out of it. The beauty of RFM is that it gives you a lot of leverage, and it's piling up the results down the line.
Amazing. That's awesome. And then, I mean, clearly, you know a lot of stuff. Obviously, we've gone through a lot in 10, 15 minutes. There's so much more that people can learn. Will you talk a little bit about the Academy before we wrap this up?
Yeah, of course. So we teamed up back in April. We decided that the world needs to level up the e-commerce game. I'm a strong believer in customer lifetime value optimization, because the whole mechanics of growth is increasing the CLV while decreasing the CAC. That's the whole math. But there are a lot of ways to do so. So we teamed up with a lot of cool people out there, and we tackled the whole customer value optimization space. We have there Bob Mesta, which is the pioneer in the jobs to be done methodology. We have Carl Gillis from the customer experience and CRO world. We have you, Chase, which you are a master in email. We have Dennis Yu, which is a Facebook ad master. So we have some really bright minds in the e-commerce space, and we've built together a program to help e-commerce marketers and agencies level up their game. So it's like a mini degree, right? 20 hours of content. It's an important investment, but the feedback so far from the first certified experts in CVO is that it's amazing. And mainly, I'm really happy. It was a hard endeavor, but we made it. So now the Academy is open, and we are going to add more courses in this online Academy to help e-commerce understand how to tackle the problem of customer lifetime value, because we are living in a world where the biggest voices are from the media companies, right? And they put an equal sign between growth and spending money on ads, which I think is not the case. And I think we're both on the same page with this, Chase.
Yeah, absolutely. So give me three links. Where can people find you personally on social? Is it LinkedIn? Is it Twitter? Where can people find OmniConvert? And where can people find the Academy? What are the three links for those?
Sure. So you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm a LinkedIn guy. I'm all about LinkedIn. I'm a huge fan of it. I share a lot of insights and case studies and things over there. OmniConvert.com is where you can find our technology and our solution, and you can find us on Shopify as the Reveal app. And you can go to academy.omniconvert.com for this course. And also, the good news is that we have a free introductory one-hour course for the ones that just want to see what's all about.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time and your wisdom and your insight.
You're welcome, Chase. Thanks a lot for inviting me.
Of course, man. All right, cheers.